have your Bibles this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to take note of this phrase, is grace is sufficient. Notice, if you would, in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you're always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He said, I'm going to give you grace that is sufficient. Now, I want to look at those two words. Sufficient literally means enough. He gives you enough to forgive. He gives you enough to be good. He gives you enough to be a blessing. Now, I want to pause just a minute. Enough of what? Grace. Grace is difficult to define sometimes. Grace is the opposite of mercy. Mercy is what God does not give us that we deserve. He gives us mercy and forgives our sin. But he gives us grace and gives us eternal life. So I want you to notice that grace is something given to us that we don't deserve. Now, everybody in this room, you've got to have grace to make it through life. If you're going to have a good relationship with your wife or your husband, you've got to give grace. You've got to be better to them than they deserve on so many occasions. You also have to give mercy. You have to give them mercy that they don't deserve. In other words, you have to let things go that sometimes you don't want to, and they don't deserve it, but you're giving grace and mercy. Now, we're going to take just a minute and look at the grace of God that is sufficient this morning. Everybody in this room needs the grace of God that is sufficient. Take your Bible and turn to Titus. We're going to come back here and end at this passage here. But you'll notice Titus chapter 2. I want you to see this. We're just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Titus chapter 2. And notice with me, if you would, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. There is a grace of God that brings salvation. Now watch this. Verse 11. When I sometimes work on messages, sometimes, and I selected this one about 3 weeks ago because, you know, we're coming up close to Easter. We're coming up in the spring, and usually there's a little, how many of you love the springtime? It sort of gives you a bounce in your step. You know what I'm saying? You see the weather start to change. You see the grass start to grow a little bit, turn green. You see the buds on the trees. You get a little bit of excitement in your heart. Well, grace, the grace of God, verse 11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God offers you this grace, and it's in the form of salvation, and he says, I know you don't deserve it. Now, I'm going to pick somebody, not my wife, because I think she would deserve a lot of things, but I'm going to take just a minute right here. Okay, Tommy, the Lord brought this saving grace to Tommy. Do you deserve it? That's a good answer. No, I don't. Okay? Your sister's around here someplace. I bet if I ask her, do you deserve it, she would probably say what? No, very quickly, okay? I think all of us would look at it and say, you know, sometimes I don't treat my friend right, my people at work right, and I don't deserve grace. But listen to this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to save everybody in this room. And he's going to bring you grace. And with that grace, he's going to offer you the gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven. It's sufficient to take you to heaven, but you have to accept it. You have to receive it. Now you'll notice if you would, in this passage, that he says in verse number 7, that bringeth salvation that appeared to all men. So if you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I'm too bad. I've done some things that are just too bad. God says, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give everybody in this room grace because we all need it, but we don't deserve it. I want to save everybody in this room, but you don't deserve it. But because I love you, I'm going to extend to you this grace of God that brings salvation with it. And now you have a choice. I don't think that grace is open to us at just any time we want it. I think God brings that grace maybe on a Sunday morning like this, and he offers you a window of salvation. You today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Acquaint now thyself with him, Job 22, 21. And he says, look, I'm going to bring you this grace, and here's the window. Will you accept it? Now, listen very carefully. This passage promises everybody one opportunity to trust Christ, but it doesn't promise anyone two. Now, let me pause just for a minute. How many of you did not accept salvation the first time you felt you needed it? You thought about it. You put it off. Raise your hand, other than me. Okay, that's the definition of great grace. More than once, more than twice. How many of you put it off more than two or three times? Raise your hand. Look at that. I don't have a word for that better than great grace. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I love you, and no one is promised more than that one opportunity. But he said, the grace of God to bring us salvation is going to come to everybody. But when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you better not put it off, because boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Preacher told a story about a young man sitting in the balcony of the church, and he was preaching about this gift of salvation. And he said, the Lord wants to save all of you. And if you've never trusted Christ, you could trust him today. And this guy got up, and nobody could see it but him. He's pointing. He said, no. And no indication was made to point out the young man, gave the invitation, and the young man walked down to the back of the auditorium and walked out, got on his motorcycle going home after he had rejected the grace of God and sort of stuck his fist in God's face, head on into a semi-truck, went out into eternity. His day of grace was gone. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I remember the morning I was saved. All week long, I had struggled to try to say, Lord, I would like to be saved, but Lord, do I have to go down in front of everybody? Lord, everybody thinks I'm saved. How many know what pride is? Well, that's the number one thing that keeps us from getting saved. We don't want to embarrass ourselves. We don't want people to think we're less than we are. But quite frankly, the only way you get saved is when you come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I'm nothing, and I got nothing that you need, but I'm asking for your grace that you would extend to me. You'd save me, Lord, forgive me. And that's the only way anybody in this room gets saved. You have to throw away your pride. And I remember sitting out there in the back, and then all of a sudden the invitation came and the Holy Spirit touched my heart and said, you need to be saved, go. And I said, Lord, I just can't do it. And then all of a sudden it was another verse and another verse. I said, Lord, I don't know if you've ever done this, but Lord, if he sings another verse, I'll go. And the pastor sang another verse. If he sings another verse, I'll go. I put it off. I didn't deserve to get saved that day. But God's great grace was extended to me until finally at the very end of the service, it was like I couldn't bear it anymore. And I stepped out and started down the aisle to trust Christ as Savior. Boy, everything changed. And I went back to a little room, got on my knees, and I received the grace of God. And my soul was set for heaven, and I've never looked back. That was 56 years ago. The peace of God has been in my heart, and he wants everyone in this room to have that same peace. It's called the gift of eternal life. It's not till you sin again, because I'd have blown that the first week. And it's eternal life. You become a child of God. And everybody in this room needs the grace of God. My question is, have you accepted it yet? And if you haven't, I don't think you know how many more chances you'll have. Maybe this is it. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just know that everybody's promised one, but not two. There's no place in the Bible where you can find that I can find where God says, I'll let you get saved whenever you want to get saved. It's not there. He comes to you and I and says, today's the day. Will you trust me? And so I want to encourage you today, if you've never trusted Christ, you'd settle it today. This grace is extended to everybody. You'll notice, if you would, not just this great grace of God is sufficient to save you, but this grace of God is sufficient to sustain you and I. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a very famous verse. And I want you to notice, if you would, it's to sustain us. Sometimes we get to the point where we just can't seem to go on. Now, you're going to notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul gives the reason here for this, this story he's going to tell us. He said, look, he said, I was writing scripture. He wrote 12 books, maybe 13 if you consider Hebrews. He was a very prolific author that the God of heaven used to write the Word of God. And he says, lest I should be exalted with pride. You'll notice he said in verse number 7, through the abundance of the revelations, through all the scripture that I'd written, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, notice what he says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Satan was given permission. Now remember, the old devil can't touch anybody in this room unless God says, okay, but then he puts limits on it. If you ever read the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, you'll find that Satan had to get permission from God to take anything away from Job, and he had to get permission from God to touch his body, his physical body, and God put limits on it, what he could do and what he couldn't do. And so he says, look here, a messenger of Satan came to me to buffet my body. So there's something physical that Paul had that was causing him great difficulty. I personally believe it was his eyesight. He had very poor eyesight. In one passage, it said, you see how large a hand I've written with my own hand. I think he wrote in large letters so he could see it. And sometimes he used an amanuensis that was a writer for him. Notice, if you would, here in verse number 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you know what? It was God's grace that he kept his pride down. God is being good to you and I when he tries to help us get rid of our pride. And so Paul would have to have somebody kind of lead him around some. He couldn't see very well if this is the case. And so here he is. How does an author write, Lord, without my eyesight? And so then he gets down and he says, Lord, he said, three times he got down and prayed and said, Lord, would you deliver me from this buffeting of Satan? Lord, would you restore my health? Three times he got down and prayed. This is the man that had a connection direct to heaven. Verse number 8. For this thing, whatever it was, and I believe it was his eyesight, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now, if anybody could get the God of heaven to do something, it would have been Paul. How many of you have ever prayed for something and God did not give it to you? Raise your hand. How many of you can look back and say, I'm glad he didn't? Raise your hand. There's something that I prayed for 43 or 44 years ago, I pled with the Lord. I did everything I could do to get it to happen. It didn't. And now, every morning, I thank him for not answering that prayer. And now I have to learn to say, Lord, this is what I want, but not my will, yours be done. You give me grace to do what you want me to do. Lord, I don't deserve it, but I need your grace to do what you want me to do. So look what happens. Paul prays and said, Lord, give me my eyesight back, or Lord, give me whatever the health issue was. Notice, and he says, for this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice. I pled with the Lord. I asked him three times. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what he's saying? I'm going to sustain you with my grace. I'm going to give you the ability to go on. I'm going to make it where you can tolerate the buffeting of Satan and be a better Christian. I'm going to sustain you. I know that your neighbor won't forgive you for what happened. I'm going to sustain you. You've asked. You won't forgive. I'm going to sustain you. At work, you've got a boss that doesn't treat you right. I'll sustain you. My grace is sufficient for you. When was the last time you and I got down on our knees and said, Lord, I've got this problem, and Lord, would you deliver it from me? And he doesn't, and you say, Lord, just give me the grace to endure it, the grace to go through it until you're done with me. Notice, if you would, verse 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'll sustain you. I'll give you what you need to make it through. Today, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, even though Satan is after you? Now, folks, the great Christians, the Christians that all of us would aspire to be, I would hope, the Christ that's in his image, the Christ that represents the Lord, that's light, can take difficulty and doesn't make him sour. It doesn't make him discouraged. It doesn't cause him to doubt the Lord. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient to help you get through it if you'll trust me. But today, you and I have to say, Lord, I don't have an answer here, but I'll trust you. His way is perfect. And his grace, the goodness to us that we don't deserve. You know, many times I've prayed for things that are brought on myself. Anybody ever done that? You know, I tell you how I did that a lot. I'm in school. I'm sitting there. And the teacher says, get out a sheet of paper. Pop quiz. It's time to pray. Well, what are you laughing about? You know what I'm talking about. Lord, I didn't study that like I should. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, help me remember the things that I didn't even look up. The Lord says, right, you know. But he says, I'll sustain you if you'll trust me. Maybe I don't fix this one, but I'll help you down the road if you'll do your part and trust me. Do you understand? He says to Paul, as his eyesight fails, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Folks, today, let's learn to trust the Lord and say, Lord, give me the grace to handle this thing that I'm battling, that I'll do it for your glory. And I'll do it with joy. Notice what he says in verse number 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not as good a Christian as Paul because I've never said, Lord, thank you for this cold. Lord, thank you for this surgery. But Paul said, Lord, I know that everything in my life you're using. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Lord, I'll take pleasure. Notice what he says. In infirmities, in reproaches, when somebody says something to me that hurts, he said, I'll just rejoice in that knowing you're going to use that in my life. in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. The word distress here is between a rock and a hard place, literally. It's between something you can't go either way. He says, I'll sustain you. All of us in this room, we need the grace of God. I'd urge you to get on your knees and sort of give me grace. Not necessarily do you take this away. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying about it. Lord, take this away. Lord, take this pain away. Or Lord, take this burden away. But Lord, if not, give me the grace that I need to represent you well. Where are the Christians that cry out for God's grace in a time of difficulty instead of forsaking him because you didn't do what they wanted? You see, God's trying to build us, to make us the kind of Christians that can rejoice in difficult times. There are very few Christians that can do that. Hey, how many of you, as you've seen people get older, how many of you have seen most people get sweeter? Raise your hand. Wow. That's scary. How many of you, as you've seen people get older, they get more cranky? I don't even know if that's a word. But how many of you know what I mean? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, that could be somebody 20 going to 30, 30 going to 40, 40 going to 50. It could be somebody, I talked to somebody this week, 89 going to 90. Do you know as long as we're here, God is ready to use us if we would say, Lord, give me more grace that I could take this and do it with joy because I know you make no mistakes. We need some Christians like that. That joy in difficulty. Oh, I'm not saying, now listen very carefully, I don't say, Lord, give me more difficulty. I don't ever do that. And I don't think you should do that. But I think we can say, Lord, give me the grace to endure whatever you lay on my shoulders for your glory. Notice what he says. He says here this, and in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in his weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, I want to represent you well. Lord, please help me. Give me your grace. Today, everybody in this room needs this kind of grace to handle difficulties with joy. That's a hard thing. But I tell you this, as we get older, we don't get sweeter unless he helps us. And then we can. I want to encourage you to be that way. There was a little old lady. Her name was Hun Bishop. Now, Hun Bishop was my son's Sunday school teacher. And she always brought candy for the children. If they behaved, she gave them a little piece of candy. Now, the kids behaved very well because she bribed them with candy, you know. And so she would come to church with this little bag all the time. And now, I said very carefully, she would reward the children for good behavior. But everybody got a piece of candy. So she gave grace to every child and said, now look, you don't deserve it this time, but you, I'll give it to you, but you come back next week and you earn it next time. And so this lady, everybody loved her. She was in her 70s, almost her 80s, and she was so sweet and gracious. And I remember going by her house and visiting with her, and I walked up to her yard, and it was the most beautiful yard I've ever seen. Now, typically, as people get older, the yards get cruddier because they're busy. They don't want to get out there and work and sweat. And I walked in to Hun Bishop, and I sat down, and I said, Miss Bishop, can I ask you a question? I said, you know, your yard is beautiful. I didn't see one weed in it. And she said, well, Brother Pittman, she said, this is what I do. She said, regularly, I go out there, and if I see a weed, I'd get down on my hands and knees and I'd pull that weed out because I can see it There's none there now. And I got the message. When I see something that's going to cause me to go sour, I'm going to pull it out and get rid of it and say, Lord, I give this to you. Lord, I see something, a weed growing, it's going to anger me, Lord. It's going to get me upset. I'm going to pull it out and give it to you, Lord. I'm going to get rid of it. And I'm going to trust you to keep me sweet. And so I looked at that yard and connected the dots with her. She just wouldn't let anything wreck that beautiful yard nor her beautiful testimony. She just said, I'll get rid of it. That person said something to me and hurt my feelings. I'll get rid of it. That person did something over there or whatever. I'll get rid of it. Lord, give me grace, and your grace is sufficient for me to handle any difficulty that comes my way. And you'll notice in this passage, he lists several things. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, going without, in persecutions, people being mean to me on purpose, in distresses, things that just happen to me that don't really have an answer or solution. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. Lord, I'll trust you. Would you give me more grace? And then I want you to notice that we need God's grace to be strong enough to do his work. Look, if you would, back in the original passage. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound, what is it? To every good work. You need the grace of God to do every good work that you do. You might say, well, you know, I don't need God's grace to be good. Yes, you do, because there are times whenever you and I forget about it. We don't think about it. We get busy with life, and God's grace helped you to do every good work that you ought to do. Anybody here forgotten to do something that you were supposed to do or that you wanted to do to be a blessing to somebody? You want to help a neighbor when they come. Maybe they're going to be out of town. Could I mow your grass and could I help you with it? And you forget about it. And then you say, oh, I forgot that opportunity. The grace of God helps you do every good work you're supposed to do. How many of you like God's reminders like that? I would. How many of you like God's help, this grace that strengthens you to do every good work? It's a good work to be complimentary of somebody. That maybe, you know, you want to be good to somebody, and yet the words kind of stick in your mouth. And so, look, let your speech be always with grace. So we need to learn to talk with grace. That's a good work. The Lord wants everybody in this room to give a good work by the grace of God, that you can be good to people that don't deserve it. This morning, how many of us are gracious people? Do you understand? That's the character of God. To be better to us than we deserve. And so we want to be better to our neighbors than they deserve. We want to be better to our boss than he deserves. We want to be better to our coworkers than they deserve. Exhibit grace. You've got to say, Lord, give me the grace of God to do every good work that I should. Lord, I need you. I am reminded that in many times, our words express our heart. Take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 4, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 4. Verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt is a preservative. Think before you speak, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You need the grace of God to know how you ought to talk. Everybody here. We need the grace of God so I know how I ought to talk to my wife. I ought to talk to my husband. I ought to talk to my brother or sister. All of us need that. The reason why we put our foot in our mouth many times is because we don't ask for the grace of God to give me that grace to say what I ought to say. Today, could I challenge you? Let's be a gracious people. Let's be a people that doesn't count the cost, that just says, Lord, give me your grace. Give me more of your grace. There was a woman in Scripture that her husband was terrible. His name was Nabal. Her name was Abigail. He had mistreated David. He had mistreated his men. He was proud and arrogant, and he was drunk, and he had David's men come up to him and said, look, would you help us? And he blasted them and called them, I'm sure, many bad names. And they went back and told David. Now, David then didn't do the right thing either. He said, mount up, let's go. We're going to take care of this guy. And all the guys get ready to go take care of the guy. And now understand, he deserved it. David didn't do the right thing. But how many times does that happen? Somebody says to us something, and they didn't do right, and we don't do right back. Our reactions are wrong. So one of the men came and said, Miss Abigail, your husband was really nasty to David's men, and I think that he could be coming back to pay your husband back. And she said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. So she gets on a mule and goes to where David is, and she does this. Now, her husband deserved it, but she said, would you take my husband's blame and fault and put it on me? Would you forgive my husband for my sake? He didn't deserve it. And David looked at her mounted with his 400 men. He looked at her and goes, wow, you're a gracious lady. And he stopped in his tracks. And he forgave him. And then he looked at this lady and says, I want to compliment you because you kept me from doing something I ought not to have done. Gracious words make an eternal difference in the hearts of people. Today, could I encourage you to be like Abigail? You might have to take the blame of somebody else's that you don't deserve, but you're going to give grace every step that you turn. Grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. We all need the grace of God. Will you ask the Lord, Lord, give me your grace in salvation. I need to be saved today. Lord, give me your grace in sustaining me through my hard times. Lord, I got this problem. I need your grace, Lord, to give me joy. Lord, I need you to give me grace so that I can say the right thing. I can do what I ought to do. Every good work. Today, the Lord loves you, but he's looking for children that are light. We can't do that in and of ourselves. We need God's grace, and he will take care of it. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. And I want to draw your attention this morning to God's grace. And would you consider saying, Lord, would you give me your grace? I've got an issue here, Lord. I've got a problem here. Would you give me your grace? Could I challenge you today to ask God for his grace? And you'll notice that the Apostle Paul asked for deliverance, not grace. Could I challenge you to do that this morning? We all need the grace of God. Father, would you speak to hearts? Lord, those that are here today that need to be saved, would you help them to come and trust you? Lord, those need to be baptized. I pray that you'd help them to come and let us help them. And then maybe they're here today and they need to be a part of our church. I pray that you'd help them to come. Lord, maybe there are people here today that they're carrying a weight and a burden. Would you help them to be able to come to this altar and say, Lord, give me your grace. Lord, I'd ask you to take it away, but if not, give me more grace. Sustain me, Lord. And then, Lord, maybe I need your grace in my words, Lord, in my steps, that I might do every good work to please you. Speak to heart this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.